Good morning, everyone. How y'all doing? It's a gray day, but it's not too bad out. It's above freezing. That's a good thing, isn't it? We're going to start today with page 117. 117, and let's stand, please. Verse 3, how silently, how silently the wondrous gift is given, so modern parts to human hearts, the blessings of his name. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world, sing the last. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, send to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord, for another a beautiful day, Lord. It's gray, it's chilly, but Lord, it's winter. It's a season of death in a way, Lord, but the springs are coming, Lord, if you tarry, and things will just liven up again. Thank you, Lord, for us being here today. Good group that we have, Lord. I just pray that you, as we go into our service today, Lord, that you would guide and direct. You'd be with our pastor. Help him as he preaches today, Lord. Give him the strength he needs. Thank you for our great nation we live in, Lord. Many, many problems we have, Lord, but we pray that as your plan's being worked, Lord, that things would go well for us, that you'd keep us, and we know that you will, Lord. Help us to remember to ask you, Lord, for help each and every day of our lives. Thank you that you're there for us always. Be with us now, guide and direct, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, 113, please. 113.
Verse 3 is the last.
Fear. 6 o'clock, we have our Christmas program going to present tonight, and then personal evangelism is on the 17th this month. We have Iron Sharpens Irons. They're going to meet the 17th at 6:30. Secret Sisters will be revealed on the 22nd. Please put your gift on the back table if you got one. We're going to meet on the 18th at Yogi's Yogurt on Park Avenue. Time is at 5:45. Christmas caroling on the 20th at Lutheran Living, 5:45, and in the Aspire Home at 6:30. And then candlelight service is the 24th. There's no Christmas Day service, anything going on the 25th. And that's also for the 1st of January. Marilyn Howard's address is there if you need to send something to her. Pastor's thought for the week, what was the star that led you to the Savior? Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Yes. Yeah. Please check the mailbox in the back. Could be something in there for you. Just check under your name there. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for another day, Lord, that we can come to your house to worship you. Thanks for those that made it here today. Thank you for the Christmas season, Lord, that we can remember what our Savior, how you allowed him to come to this earth, Lord, to become man. And sacrifice for us, Lord, for the sins of the world. Thank you for that. Thank you for that hope that we have. Be with us now as we take us off, and be with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. See, we have a ladies' group going to sing special now. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. We can be assured of one thing, there is joy in heaven today. And if there are bells in heaven, they are ringing, absolutely. What a great season, right? To be out ringing the bells of joy. The book of Isaiah says that during the millennial reign of Christ here on earth, in a time yet to come, even the horses will have bells on them that will say, "Holiness to the Lord." So, I know we live in a modern age today, but in days gone by, horses had bells on them in the winter a lot of times when they were on the sleigh, pronouncing the joy of the Savior. And yes, young folks, you may go down at this time, but hopefully today you're ringing those bells, because this is the season again to celebrate the Savior, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to everyone this morning. Welcome to some folks that are from, what, 3,000 miles away, 2,800 maybe? Solace family, we're glad to have you here with us, all the way from California. Yeah. And welcome to the realities of Iowa in the winter. God gave us a good decoration, didn't he, early yesterday morning and through part of the morning. Nice glaze on the trees, and hopefully everyone was safe and not in jeopardy yesterday. We certainly missed not being able to have the open house that we so much enjoy doing every year. All the food was there. Not all of it was prepared, but I think Kim and I will be feasting heavily for a while to use all that up. Some of you have asked, is there a possibility to have that yet this season? And that possibility is probably not possible for several reasons. But Kim may bring some things tonight to hand out to you, some goodies, and hopefully you can have some joy with that and enjoy that fellowship that we couldn't have last night. But God had other reasons, and so we leave that in his hands. But it's good to be with you today, right? Yeah, the highways are clear, and what a great time it is to come to a thing called church. The called out ones, the ecclesia, and where we can have fellowship with one another and also fellowship with the Lord. And if you see people missing today, make sure you pray for them, but also contact them and let them know that we like to keep in touch. And this is a great time of the year to invite people once again to the gatherings we have here at Fruitland Baptist. And in fact, this morning I had someone on the recorder wondered about our candlelight service. And that will be a week from this coming Tuesday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It won't last over about 30, 35, 40 minutes at the most. So bring your families, bring people that you can invite, your neighbors, anyone you can find to come and celebrate that service where we think about the light of the world, who is Jesus. So anyway, I just challenge you as well for just a moment this morning. Of course, we know that Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us. And he was God in the flesh right here in our very midst on earth. And so today I pray that that presence is within you today of the Holy Spirit if you're born again here today. And that, again, you're experiencing Emmanuel in your personal walk with the Savior. But if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, you can have the presence of Almighty God within you if you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And this is a wonderful time of year to consider that. But welcome to everyone. If you're visiting here, we're glad for everyone that comes through those doors. One little item that I want to make known to you. Some of you know Jose Luna. Some of us old-timers here know Jose well from years ago. But Jose, I'm sure many of you know this, but he had gone to Mexico to visit family. And he did have a brain bleed and some difficulties that was very serious down there and had to have surgery. And so he is still in Mexico, but if you'd be led at all to want to help that family, I'm sure there are needs with the travel and just expenses that go along with that. But if you'd be willing or considering doing that, speak with Kay Terhune. She'll kind of superintend over that, and we'll try to help Jose what we can at this time. But continue, I'm sure they covet our prayers and certainly be praying for all people that are in difficult situations here at this time. So this morning, the title of our message is God's Gift of Redemption. Have you received it? And if you have it, is it still treasured? So that's what we'll look into this morning from Scripture. But before we do that, this is a time to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So we'll just take a few moments now of silent prayer as you approach the throne of grace this morning and to talk to the Lord Jesus today and let him know that you love him. You know what? His love for us never ends.
and that you genuinely do, and that you really want to lift him high and exalt his name today. What a wonderful Savior, the God of this whole world. You know, all the components of the universe, everything else, stooped down to come to save us in the form of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing today. So let's turn our hearts toward the Lord and give him praise this morning, and I'll have a short pastoral prayer. We'll get right into the message this morning. Shall we pray together? Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today. Once again, it's a throne of grace and mercy. It's a throne of openness where we can come through the intermediary presentation of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the very throne of heaven, to you, God the Father. And we thank you today. We want to be sure to let you know that you as a God, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, Lord, are a worthy God of our worship. You are the only God. I acknowledge that. We acknowledge that today, Father. You are the only God with a capital G. You are God and God Almighty. And so today we understand that. As you have opened our hearts, Lord, we also understand the complexity of who you are and the fact that you were able to give your only unique Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin, born in a cattle stall, to come to be the servant Savior of the world. And Lord, the most miraculous thing is that we don't have to do anything to receive your goodness, but trust in you, Lord, but believe it and receive it. And so, Lord, thank you for that ultimate gift that you sent to us and that came in your bodily form, Lord, as a God-man, to pay again the perfect sacrifice for the imperfect. We thank you, too, today for the Holy Spirit and his indwelling presence in the believer and the power that he brings about to things, Lord. He's the one who comes alongside of the believer, the parakletos in the Greek. And, Lord, we thank you today that we have that internal guidance that is in our very presence today that helps us, that warns us, that encourages us, and sustains us, Lord, in all things. We thank you for that today. We want to give you praise today. Again, in all your perfectness, Lord, and mightiness. Now, Lord, today we also think of the gathering of the church, and we're thankful for all that have come out today. Thank you for protecting us on the ice. Lord, this morning, maybe in our driveways and homes, we thank you that the roads are clear and that we are able to journey here to meet together, Lord, to encourage one another and to hear your word and to hear the Spirit speak to our hearts through it. I pray today, Lord. Pray this message will, again, jog a heart today, either closer to you, Lord, or to warn us of our distance and that we have a way back through you, through your redemption. Lord, we pray for those that are ill or recovering from illnesses, and there are several in our congregation, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would increase our numbers here, not just to have numbers, Lord, but that people that need you would be here and be in the presence of the gathering, Lord. We pray for our community. We pray, Lord, for families and loved ones, Lord, who do not know you as Savior. We pray for those today, Lord, that may be going home very soon or passing into eternity, Lord, maybe some without you. So I pray today, Lord, that we'll be considering those types of things that go on around us. And then, Lord, there may be some today that are in situations where there's been trouble in the home, maybe a quibble about some different things. Maybe someone that said, I just don't want to go today for various reasons. Lord, there are many people that are down at this time of the year, this time of joy. And that's understandable, Lord. The memories flood in and all the things that intervene, Lord, that affect the heart of humanity. I pray today you would heal those wounds, Lord, that you would bind up those sores and problems that exist, Lord, that there would be a spirit of forgiveness and understanding, Lord, and a desire once again to put you in the first place and in the center of all things in this time of the year. Now, Lord, I pray for the preaching today, and there's a good reason for that, as you know, Lord, because I'm not qualified, Lord. I'm not who I could be or who I should be. I'm just who I am, in need of improvement. But I pray once again, Lord, your grace would prevail, that you'd empower the message today. It's not about me, but I need your help to deliver it, and that the Holy Spirit would drive it home this morning. We love you now, Lord, and I ask that you cleanse me and help me as I bring forth this message, a very simple message, yet a complex message, Lord, of what you have done for us. Thank you for making it easy for us to understand. And we give you the praise and glory in advance and ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends of the Redeemer, Christmas gift exchanges bring much anticipation over the reaction of loved ones when they receive and respond to a gift that was given with thoughtfulness and love and was especially chosen for them. Can you all experience that this morning as we gather in our homes, other situations? And really, isn't it more of a joy to purchase a gift for someone than to receive a gift from someone? Now, we may not all agree on that at our stages of life here today, but the Bible underpins that, does it not? It said it is more what? Blessed to give than to receive. And again, that's how God approaches us. He does not approach us in a dogmatic, negative way. He was the one that initiated the giving. Aren't you thankful for that today, brothers and sisters in Christ, that it wasn't about what we did or didn't do, but it's all about what he did for us out of love? Well, as we know, many of us have special memories at this time of the year. We did have maybe a special memory of a certain gift that has not diminished with the passage of time. Now, I could stand up here this morning and tell you a few things that are things of the world, things of the flesh that I have appreciated, but I want to talk more about spiritual things today, which are more important to me. And hopefully these gifts that you think about today have not diminished with the passage of time, as so easily does happen. It is widely believed, though, however falsely, in our home that I am the big pack rat and saver. Now, I'll admit to you, because I do come clean about things here, we thank God for the ice storm. Because where is Kim? There she is back. What'd Kim say? Hallelujah? I don't know if we'd have been ready. For those of you that know us fairly well, and some of you do, and again, I know Marlon wanted to go through our closets one time, but and maybe he did, but you know, we got a lot of stuff, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning, and you know, we know that we need to minimize, but there's some things, like I'm going to explain this morning, that mean a lot to us. But it's not about the stuff. But the truth, what I was going to reveal today is not about me, because you all know that I'm faulty and wrong on many things. But Kim's really the pack rat at our house. And that is why we have Christmas decorations. We have a storage unit that has some of my things, but also some of hers. And we talked yesterday, we cannot continue to have all this stuff in our home. I really was afraid of taking a fall in the house. I wasn't worried about the ice as much as I was in the house as we were putting things together. I'm saddened, though, that we did not get to have it. We'd have had it pulled together, but we may have had to hid some things in a room and said, this is off limits today. I was saddened, though, I was, because we enjoy that so much, and it's something we just cannot put together again this year for a couple of reasons. Some of you know that from the prayer chain, but we'll do our best, and we still love you folks, and we thank you for all you've done for us over all the years here. Fruitland, putting up with someone like me, Kim, not so bad, but me, that could be different. But anyway, our place, again, has a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of memories in that house. And as I said, it's really Kim. But I'm so thankful, my friends, in some ways, though, that this is the case. And this is the kind of thing that brings tears to our eyes when we go through all this stuff that we have to move and deal with. She has saved many of our kids' outfits from when they were babies. By the way, there's an outfit from when I was a baby that my mom had saved that we found, too, here a while back. I don't think it would fit me anymore. I know it wouldn't. But she also has saved things that our kids made when they were small. And we do get pretty sentimental at times this time of the year. Not out of sadness, but we just pray the days won't end. You have that? And some of you that have lost loved ones recently, that's a hard thing, isn't it? Yeah. We don't want to be done here till we're done. You know, the gift of life. What a thing God's given us, let alone eternal life that he's given us as well. He's a good God. He really is. But we get sentimental when we look at these things. And again, our children are great gifts of God. And as you know, we added another the 10th one, a granddaughter. Females are rare in the Brown family. But we're thankful that we have little Josephine. This year is another gift. Anyway, I've told Kim, and we agree, though, we may be pack rats, but I don't want to get rid of these things until we're done. Until it's time to be done. Well, Kim, again, is God's great gift to me. And I don't want to get rid of her either until we're done. We'll see how that all transpires in the Lord's will and time. It's the same with the kids and the grandkids. But folks, I want to bring us to this thought this morning, God's gift of redemption. We all know what that fancy word redemption means, don't we? It means the love of God that came through his son Jesus Christ to buy us back from the slave market of sin. That's what redemption means. Where we're by default headed, not because of something we have done, but what happened to our ancestor Adam and the genetics that have passed down through him to us in our very day-to-day, we are sinners by our very birth. Even before a child makes a choice to sin, we are sinful because we are born into the human race. But Jesus came to redeem us. That's what redemption means. He bought us back from the default path that we are on with his precious blood. Folks, Kim's good, but Jesus is the better. He's better. He's the greatest gift to me. And I want to experience it to the fullest, yet on this side of eternity, and again be able to share it with all humanity. And folks, we need to think about this morning, but if you possess this gift today, you should never want to forget it or minimize it, folks. Never. Until we are in the presence with Jesus face to face. And I've been talking about that a lot lately. Because you know what? It's getting closer for all of us every day. That's the bottom line. So how have you and I handled the gift of redemption? Probably we're all thinking about that now. I thought about it as I wrote the message. And I can tell you, it's likely that I haven't handled it. It's true that I have not handled it as I should have as a precious gift. As one of these valued gifts that I've mentioned and tried to get us thinking about today. We could do better. And I'm sure, Lord, that you'll forgive us. But Lord, I'm sorry, you know, that I haven't handled that gift in the way that I should. Well, the celebration of the birth of Christ is a good time to revisit its place. That's the gift of redemption in your life and how you have handled it. Today is not a classic Christmas passage, but do you know that through Scripture, as you study, you'll find many passages that bring us to the story of the coming and the birth and the other things that took place in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that point to us of the what we classically call the Christmas story. So today, three short points. Hopefully, we'll review this about redemption and come to a deeper understanding. We're going to be today in the book of Galatians and in chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, verses 1 through 11, chapter 4. 3 points. And here's the first one today. All people are potential heirs of the gift of redemption. All people are potential heirs of the gift of redemption. Paul writes this in verses 1 through 3. Follow along as I read this as he addresses again the believers there at that church. He says, now I say this is, excuse me, I'm having some struggles. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Everyone knows what an heir is here today, correct? It's someone who's due an inheritance. It's someone, again, who has a lineage. And in this case, with the Lord Jesus Christ, when we consider this today, when we are adopted into the family of God, we become royal, folks. We become a child of the King. and we'll never be the same again. But what Paul is saying here, he says, consider this in your lives, folks, believers at the Galatian church. He said, when you don't understand what's going on, as you're immature here is what he's talking about, you're still like a child, you don't really realize the validity of what is taking place in this. Because you still think that what? Your thinking should be that you are still a servant because you have not already received this gift. Or it hasn't become real to you or important to you. Even though, in this case, Paul says, you've already been redeemed if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, but do you take it seriously? That it's not for what's yet to come, it's for the here and now. Paul says our maturity level causes us to struggle with that, and I believe that is the case. And folks, I can tell you definitively today that I am immature in Christ. And I can also tell you definitively that everyone here in this room today is, again, immature in Christ. We are not at the level of where we could be. And we are not understanding the depths of what God has given to us. And this is what Paul's trying to illustrate here. He says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, to when we understand this, to when we receive the gift, but also when we begin to understand the value of our gift of redemption. Today we are all here under the tutelage of the Lord through the hand of the Apostle Paul this morning. Hopefully this message will encourage us to think about ourselves and where we are in this situation. Are we understanding this valuable gift that's been given? Have we received it? And if we have received it, where does it factor into our lives? Are we still just in the process, okay? Have we really understood what it's all about? Paul goes on to say there in verse 3, he says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage or slavery under the elements of the world. Folks, this gift of redemption that's given in Christ Jesus, until that has been received in our lives and freed us from the slave market of sin. Folks, we can understand this, and as we review our lives, we can understand that indeed sin and the desire to live for the things of the flesh, the things of the world, are an enslavement. We can never get enough of them. I'm going to share a little bit about Christmas today and some of the things that surround the hearts in a gift exchange. But what Paul is illustrating here, he says, we begin as immature, unlearned, servant class, associated with trivial things, until we meet the Redeemer, who is Jesus Christ. You know, I am astounded each year at Christmas. And truly, I value everything people give me, and more as time goes along, because I don't look at it for its intrinsic value. I look at it from the value that came from the heart that presented it. Okay? I don't know where your level is on those kind of things here today, but what I've observed through the years, and by the way, Kim and I have made a lot of mistakes in rearing our children. We certainly are not perfect, but I do believe that we had some good things too, and I don't believe our children were ever unappreciative of anything they ever got. Do you think that, Kim? I think to this day they see a deeper value and what goes on. In fact, we've been joking with Mark, we may make this a giftless Christmas this year. And I'm good with that. No, don't call me Ebenezer. But I'm good with that. We don't have, you know what? I take a little paper ornament from my grandchildren and love that more than I would anything you could give. You know, I didn't let Kim speak about that, but I think she's the same. We try to appreciate what comes from the heart. See, that's what's important. But I've seen this over the years in exchanges. You know, the day or two after Christmas, and I know we live in a more of a virtual world, but I know that Amazon and the delivery trucks are going to be almost as busy the day after Christmas as they were in the days before it. It used to be in the stores, the day after Christmas was the biggest day of the year because people were doing what? I didn't like what I got. You know? I've heard of people and families that compared before Christmas so that they would not see their children get something different or be in the cool section of things so that they all got things that everyone was going to like. Folks, we've missed the whole point of this, see, with what goes on and scrutinizing things. And hey, if someone gives you a Christmas sweater or a Christmas tie that doesn't meet your fashion needs, think of the person that gave it and wear it. Don't think about yourself. Think about what the Lord, again, allowed someone to give to you and consider that. But folks, we're caught up with all the trivial stuff and we forget the important stuff. Many gifts are returned. I'll even say this, it used to be and probably still is, a lot of them are trashed and some of them are rejected because they're trivial by the recipient that were given by loving thoughtfulness of a giver. Do you think that's true? I think it is. That's something that really bothers me. Folks, that's our immaturity and our ignorance that are displayed vividly each Christmas season as people value their received gifts. You'll know the hearts by the attitudes when these type of things are passed out. May the Lord help us. Yeah. Also, you know, people have been big in this over the years too. Well, I need to be fair to my family. If I buy this for someone else, I want to do the same. It's okay to do that, but folks, give from the heart. Give what you're led to do if you're led to do it. And if you're not, you know, God says, I love a cheerful giver. That even if you have the mentality of Scrooge, don't try to make something out of it that's not, but get your heart set straight first. And it revolves around this gift of redemption. That's why we need to concentrate this year as we celebrate the birth of Christ to make it genuine. We can't change what other people do. We can observe what other people do, but we can set an example in our own lives, and hopefully that will show to others what the real value here is. And friends, I believe it's the value of the gift of redemption. Because literally we'd be cooked without it. Amen? Point two. As soon as I get the page turned. Point two is this. The gift of redemption is given with love of the giver. Let's work through verses 4-7 here in this text this morning. Here's the Christmas story, if you want to use that terminology. But when, Paul writes, the fullness of time was come. What is the fullness of time? Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, approximately. I won't go into the exact figures. There's some dispute on that about the calendars and so forth. But he was born a long time ago. But approximately 2,000 years has come down the pike since then. Isn't time more full today than it was 2,000 years ago? Well, more time has been accumulated. I'll use that term this morning. But let me tell you this, folks. Jesus came, and I hate to use this expression because people are going to be thinking about Saint Nick here, Santa Claus, but Jesus came in the nick of time. He came at the right time that God had so ordained to save this world. He came at the time to save Israel from going into a period of 400 years that God had not spoken to Israel before the words of the New Testament began in the book of Matthew. But think of this, folks. He came to the Jew first, but also the non-Jew. Jesus came at the right time for Israel, because what happened to Israel in the days after Jesus went into heaven, went back, and they rejected him, is Israel has disappeared from the face of the earth for almost 2,000 years, till 1948. Jesus came at the right time. He came at the time when God ordained him to come, and he came for us because, like Paul writes, because Israel rejected the Savior, it opened the door to the non-Jew, who were not the chosen, again, ethnicity that God had called to himself. And that opened the door for us. Can I hear an amen on that? Does that even ring a bell with anyone? See, this gift came at the right time. In God's program, there are no accidents. He's right on time all the time. And Paul is illustrating this. When Jesus was born as the babe in the manger, it was when the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. What's talked about here is the virgin birth. I'll be preaching some more on this now before Christmas, but in a nutshell, something unique that has never happened before and will never happen again happened in the Virgin Mary. And that was when God presented his son, Jesus Christ, as fully God and fully man. The seeds of humanity come from the male, but the seed of the woman, which was prophesied in Genesis 3:15, came through the Virgin Mary. Through the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost and the conception there, it was not an immaculate conception because Mary was a sinner. She was a virgin. She was untouched. She was not immaculate. She was a human being. Jesus received his humanity from Mary. You see, if Mary was immaculate, she would have been deity. Mary is not the mother of God. She is the mother of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Never get that mixed up, my friends. He sent forth his son, made literally of the seed of the woman, made under the law. But Christ came to what? To free us from the law. Because what does the law say, my friends? It's summed up in a verse like Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. We all deserve to die for our sins. But the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, it's the gift of redemption. On we go here. Verse 5, and here we find the word. Read it with me here, folks. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption and of sons to literally become children of the King. To have an inheritance that's due to us because of what he has done for us. There it is, that word redeem. We were bought back. If you have trusted Jesus Christ, you are bought back from slavery, folks. Brought into the freedom of the Lord, of the Savior. You're brought back, bought back from the slavery of sin and a life again that is bent on sin that now is checked by the Holy Ghost, whereby we can experience and enjoy the things of God in living righteously because he did this for us. And now Paul writes in verse 6, because you are sons, that's huios in the Greek, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we realize the value of the gift, once again, of being adopted into the King's family, becoming an heir due an inheritance, and have received it, we climb into the arms of the Father and are now a son. I've used this illustration many times, but I'm asking you today, have you experienced this gift of redemption? When I, little Josephine, I had her in my arms once. I think Kim has a few times, but what a precious, always back to the little fingers and she has kind of a reddish blonde hair, eyelashes and everything. But, you know, I always think back to Mark. Mark's always been a snuggler, almost to the point, I think, that his nieces and nephews, when they're little, they don't like him holding them so much. But Mark would put his face up, you know, and he'd say, my daddy. Yeah. Are you in that position today over this gift of redemption? That now God the Father is truly your dad. Hallelujah, you know? Can you say that today? And you realize you're his son. And have you climbed up in the arms of the Father? Folks, are you in that position today? Am I in that position today? Or are we somewhat distant? I'm afraid to say many times we're distant. No, I can't grab Mark up in my arms anymore. But, you know, that's what God wants. He wants us in his arms. He wants us to understand what a wonderful gift he's given us and snuggle up with him, literally, and walk with him. The gift of redemption is given with love of the giver. Do you experience that today? Do I experience it today in this season of the giving of gifts? Well, Paul concludes this, and this is the third point. And I think this is very important because, as I mentioned, gifts wear out. I've gotten into trouble here at church, too, with my office. And I'm not picking on Patsy and Zelfa because they're right. They're just like Kim. Why do you have all this stuff? You know why I do? Because it's memories. Someone gave me those gifts. You know, I'm not going to reveal them because none of those gifts are trivial. Some of you may say some of this is just junk. Get it out of here. It's hard to dust around it, to work with it. But all those things are special because they came from someone. See? Folks, we tend to do that. I admit, you know, we may have a tie, or, of course, you know, with me with clothing, I wear it till it's worn out. When it's not fit for public consumption, I wear it for work. But, you know, yes, there's times we begin to lose interest in those gifts. That's the danger of all this today, folks. Make sure you never lose the love and luster of the gift of redemption. That's the third point. Make sure you never lose the love and luster of the gift of redemption. Let's look at verses 8 through 11 today before we close. Paul writes here, he says, "Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them by which by nature are no gods." Paul's saying the emphasis and focus on our lives before we got saved was on the little g gods. Who did it? Well, the teenagers, there may be some. Yeah, we got some teenagers up here today. What teenager wouldn't like whatever's popular today? I admit, even as an adult, one of the, this is not the best Christmas present, but a very good one, was the morning Kim and the kids bought an International Scout for me that I'd seen somewhere. I don't even know where it was. And my brother Jim snuck it in a snowstorm, and they surprised me with that. And then Ding-a-ling Mark wrecked it. This is true, Kay, seriously. Actually, Bob Domikos, one of my professors at Faith, Dr. Bob, was there. We were picking corn, and Mark took the scout over to Maynard's and ran the thing in a ditch and destroyed it. Dr. Bob saved Mark's life that day. Not literally, but but anyway, you know, the point of this is, in verse 8, we haven't always approached God in the way we should. Even, folks, what Paul's warning, and this is the crux of this message today, even when we've been saved, we tend to devalue the gift. "Howbeit then," Paul says, "when you knew not God," obviously you wanted the other things. Now, I don't know. I'm not in tune very well, but like Kinzer, what are you hoping for Christmas? I'm not picking on you, man. I know where you're at. You know, back in my day, there were a few people, things were as prosperous then. You know, there might have been parents that bought their kids a new vehicle. That never happened at our house. or things like that, you know. But this is where people are at with things. It's the things of the flesh. But now Paul, listen to this in verse 9. He says, "But now after that you have known God," or rather are known of God. By the way, that's how this happens. God saves us. We don't just accidentally find him. And by the way, today, if you're apart from Jesus, he's looking for you today. And he's available. "How turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage?" This is the whole point of this message today, folks. Because I believe this in my life and probably in yours. We are struggling with this today. We want to go back to thinking maybe we'll get a new car for Christmas this year. Or in Kinzer's case, cash. Now let's come clean. When a Christmas card comes, what's one of the first things? Kinzer, will you come clean with me on this today? What's one of the first things you look at? Oh, I love the sayings on that card. True? Folks, many of us maybe in this room today as born-again believers have lost the luster and the love, the gift of the gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. Paul says it's a danger. And I'll tell you what, today is none too soon to get this rectified with Christ. Let's go through this. He says, you desire again to be what? Back in slavery. See, if we use this wrongly, what God has given to us, we will be enslaved again into this garbage. No, if we're genuinely saved, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose the joy of the gift of salvation that is redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice here what Paul writes in verse 10. You observe days and months and times and years. Christmas celebrations. You've heard me teach about that before. I'm not going to put a big thing on this, but most of the people, and let's face it, Jesus was likely born in the end of September in that vicinity, not in December. There's a possibility he was, if the course of a bite of Zacharias's temple duties fell at a certain time. I don't think they did. I think it's proven because the shepherds were out with the sheep in the field. They wouldn't have been there this time of year. You can study that all out, but I know this, the important thing, Jesus came. And he went to the cross. And he ascended back into heaven to the right hand of God his Father, awaiting his return. That's what's important about this. But notice, you observe days and months and times and years. By the way, isn't Christmas gathering for people a very volatile time? You know when we're going to celebrate Christmas with our family this year? January 18th. Ask me why. Because no one can get together with all the different details and things to make it all happen. For you that are older in here, or mature, I should never use the word older, but it's also a lesson to you that are younger. It's not the day that we gather. It's about who we gather for. You can have that celebration any day of the year. We want to have it when we can all be together. It doesn't have to be right now. But notice what Paul says. People are going to go through the motions. Don't you dare go through the motions again this Christmas. Don't you dare fight with your spouse over going to the in-laws. And yes, this is not a spiritual song, but the 12 things of Christmas that are such a pain to me. Rigging up the lights. Don't turn it into trivia. Because that's the bondage of the slave market of sin of the flesh. Turn it into a celebration and a rejoicing of redemption. Paul says that's the tendency. We just go through the motions, the days, the months, the times, and the years. Today, Kim's dad is on hospice care, and he is approaching the end of his days. Today, Kim and I are going in just to talk with him about heaven. If we can even talk to him today, folks, it's going to be different. It is different for those of you that have lost loved ones. Don't just let it be mechanical this year. Let it be substantive. Notice what Paul says in the last verse we have here for this morning. He says, I am afraid of you. I think what Paul's really saying there, and we can do a little work in the mechanics of the Greek there, Paul is saying, I'm afraid for you. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the whole point. And Paul sums it up in a way that is common for Paul, because he's a tell-it-like-it-is-er. He says, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Paul, in a sense, is saying, if you don't get this gift of redemption and you don't understand what it's all about, I use a phrase from the corn sheller man that he used to use, you're just wasting your time. If you don't get it right this year, even today, you're just wasting your time. You've missed the point of the gift of redemption, whether you're born again here today or not. But as I conclude today, if you're not born again here today, the gift of redemption is available. It's being offered to you. All you need do is receive it. It's that simple. There's no religiosity. Jesus, I want that gift. Kinzer, it's like that card. I didn't mean to wake you up again. I know my messages are somewhat dull and boring. Kinzer, you and I know each other. We can have fun, can't we? Well, sometimes. Most of the time. Get your mind off of these trivial things and get them on the Savior. That's the gift that supersedes anything else that will happen, folks. And appreciate it and celebrate it this season. The gift of redemption is available for you today. Receive it. Friends, the book, the Bible, will show you that. But also other believers can help you if you are struggling today about this gift of redemption. And if you have received it, but you no longer treasure it, you know, just what Paul warned us about. By the way, when Paul says, I am what? Afraid for you. He rightly says that. If you've received it, but no longer treasure it, another R word is available, and that is the word repentance. Repentance means to turn around. If you're not here saved, today's the day to turn around, face Jesus, and receive the gift. If you're here today and you're saved, repentance means to turn away from the path that you're on, which is not getting closer to Christ, but is walking further from Him, satisfying and placing yourself back in that slave market that Jesus died to redeem you of. Either way, folks, know this, God's gift of Jesus and His redemption is available today. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. Page 212. As I said in the message, stand if you're able, but as I said in the message, this is about, again, the day that we'll see Jesus. I'm not ready to see Him yet today. A couple of reasons. Number one, a selfish reason, because I want to experience more of what He has here for me and the gifts and the blessings He's given me. But number two, I'm not where I should be, because Paul just warned me this morning, didn't he? And he warned you. And if you don't have Jesus, he is here to you, for you today. But if you have Him and if you walked away, you have another emphasis in your life today that supersedes the wonderful gift of redemption in Christ. Today's a day to turn around, repent. Sing this today, verse 1. God's working in your heart. You want to visit? You want to counsel about this? I'm glad to talk. There's others here as well. Don't go back out into the wild open spaces without seeing these things set straight in your life today. Some glorious morning sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, labor all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Battles all won, He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden day break for me, for you. Let's sing that refrain one more time. If there's a person in need today, Jesus will help you. Don't reject or take lightly the gift that He's given in His Son, the Lord Jesus. Some golden day break, Jesus will come. Some golden day break, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the gloom. Some golden day break for me, for you. Carolyn, it's good to see you back this morning. I'm going to ask that you dismiss us in prayer. Don't squander the blessings of God today, or any day for that matter. I hope and pray that we'll have a great time this year to fellowship with the Lord and with one another for His sake. Marlon, would you dismiss us, please?